In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fellow Redeemed, in the congregation at prayer this past week, you were encouraged to read through the resurrection account of the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. John. And if you read them, you probably noticed that there was a lot going on that first Easter Sunday. You have the women going to the tomb to anoint the dead body of Jesus and finding the tomb empty. You have the women running back from the tomb and finding Peter and John. You have Peter and John running to the tomb and finding it empty. You have Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene and the other women, and then a couple of the disciples on their way to Emmaus. Ultimately, there's a lot going on that first Easter Sunday, with people running to the tomb and away from it, with Jesus appearing to some and not the others. It's sort of a chaotic scene. There's a lot going on. And then you get to that evening. On the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together without Jesus. And yet they weren't gathered to celebrate his resurrection. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. There was no peace in that room, only fear. The reports of Jesus' resurrection seemed to have had little to no impact on the disciples as a whole. Was it because it's just too good to be true? Was it because it sounded a little too crazy? Whatever the reason might be, the report of Jesus' resurrection from the dead did nothing to drive away the disciples' fear. Now, looking at it from a worldly perspective, there was much for the disciples to fear. Jesus, the only one, the one that they had followed for nearly 3 years, was arrested, put on trial, was crucified. As the disciples had been following Jesus for these 3 years, well, it wouldn't be hard to identify them. What if the Jewish leaders weren't content with only killing Jesus? What if they decide to go after those who were with Jesus and believed in him? So they hid in fear. As we look at our lives, when we look at things from a rational, worldly perspective, there seems to be a lot that we fear as well. There's the uncertainty about our future, the direction it will take, the events that are in front of us. There's uncertainty in our community, uncertainty in the country around us, and there's always financial concerns. How are we going to pay those bills? What other unexpected expenses will we have? There are serious, life-threatening health problems in our lives, in the lives of our family and friends. And this list goes on and on and on, doesn't it? There's much that we're concerned with, much that we fear. The disciples were in a locked room because of fear, specifically the fear of death. And yet, in the face of this fear, here, the crucified and risen Christ came and stood among them. And he said, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Now, the peace that Jesus spoke of wasn't a wish or a hope. It's a peace that surpasses all human understanding. It was the peace of sins forgiven. We've been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus. They were words that did what they said, because the crucified and risen Christ was speaking to the disciples. Jesus showed them his hands, which bore the marks of the nails that were nailed to the cross. He showed them his side, the side that was pierced by the Roman soldier's spear, to confirm that Jesus was in fact dead. While he died on the cross, While he had been buried, Jesus stood before them, alive. Jesus, who was crucified, has risen from the dead. And as a result, there's forgiveness, there's life, there's peace with God. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. In an instant, they had seen the words that Mary Magdalene had spoken were true. Whatever they thought about Jesus' death was now wiped away. Jesus, who had been crucified, was alive. He has risen from the dead, and now they had peace. And our Lord drove home this point by saying for a second time, "Peace be with you." And then he went on to express how they were now to share this peace with others. "As the Father has sent me, even now I am sending you." Jesus breathed on them, said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Fellow redeemed, the biggest issue confronting you isn't the uncertainty of future events. It's not financial problems or health concerns. The biggest issue confronting us is sin. It's as Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Also said, "I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin." Held in bondage to sin and unable to free ourselves, the only outcome is death, eternal death. This is why God himself takes on human flesh and blood in the person of Jesus to confront sin and the wages of death. Consider why John the Baptist had declared that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Consider why, when speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus had compared himself to the bronze serpent that God had commanded Moses to raise up on a pole. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And in his first letter, St. John explains what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died on the cross as the Lamb of God, was the sacrifice that has removed sin, to bring us life with God, to bring to us peace with God. His blood cleanses us of all of our sins. And risen from the grave, Jesus told his disciples, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Here Jesus sends his church forth with the authority to forgive sins. His authority as the crucified and risen Lord. Fellow redeemed, this is exactly what happened at the beginning of the service this morning and every Lord's Day. To your confession of sin, you heard these words. "As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." The command spoken by the risen Lord on the evening of Easter has carried out this morning and every single Lord's Day. Because it was, your sins are in fact forgiven. They're forgiven, and because they're forgiven, you have eternal life. You have peace with God. Jesus promised, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life." These are not merely words. They're words that find their source in the one who died on the cross, who rose from the dead. These words are true because Jesus lives. He has conquered sin for you. He has conquered death for you. Because Jesus lives, you have eternal life now. An eternal life that you will see fully when our Lord will raise you up on that last day, body and soul reunited, never to die again. Jesus says, "For this is the will of my Father, that whoever looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Death can't be the end for your body because it wasn't the end for Jesus. He stood in the midst of his disciples with the same body that was crucified and laid in the tomb. Yet it was transformed by the resurrection so that it could never die again. Jesus has won the victory for us in both body and soul. Fellow redeemed, are there troubles? Are there difficulties in this fallen world? Yes. Jesus said there would be. And yet there's no reason to fear. Instead, we live by confident trust in Jesus, who through his crucifixion and resurrection, through who has won the victory over sin and death and the devil for you. We live in his forgiveness and love, which will carry us through every single challenge in life as we set our hope on the crucified and risen Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.